In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that I've mentioned before that both of my grandparents on my mother's side grew up as sharecroppers in South Georgia. And although they eventually moved off of the farm and into the suburbs and took other jobs, still the spirit of the land never completely left them. And they both had a passion for gardening and for planting things. And so I grew up around people who liked to work in the soil, who did it out of passion and out of habit, and who spent time growing things in their yard. So I learned as a young child to do this, and it became something that I was fascinated with, something that I loved. But one of the things that I learned quickly about gardening is that there was really only two parts of it that I actually liked, that I really enjoyed. I liked planting the seeds because that was full of hope. I liked taking the young plants and putting them in the garden because you could imagine what it was going to grow into. You could think about what it was going to be. So planting the seeds was a moment of hope, and I enjoyed that. And of course, I enjoyed harvesting whatever was planted, if it was vegetables or fruits, or I enjoyed seeing the things grow and bloom. What I quickly learned that I didn't like at all was everything that came before planting and after planting. All of the tilling of the soil, the manure, the pesticides, the weeding, all of the tending and protecting from bugs and birds, and all of the stuff that goes before the planting and before the harvest. All of that stuff was tedious. It was dirty, sweaty, wasn't glamorous at all. There was no immediate payoff to it. There's not even much hope to it. It's just work. And so what I learned is that although I liked the idea of planting and harvesting, that was just it. All I wanted to do was plant and harvest. I didn't want to actually do the work of tending and looking after the plants and of making sure that the plants had the right soil to grow in. And of course, what I learned from my grandparents is that if you want to have a productive garden, the more important part, more than just planting, more than just harvesting, the most important thing you can do is to look after what the plant is growing in. Making sure that it is weeded, making sure that the ground is properly loose and broken up, making sure that it has fertilized, making sure that you've protected it from things that are going to come in and steal and rob your plants or eat them and destroy them. All of those things are critically important if you want to harvest anything. Although they may not be glamorous, they may not be fun. It's a lesson that has stuck with me, although sometimes I must admit I'm better at following it than others. I always want to backslide into that habit of just planting and expecting the little life form to take care of itself and go on and grow and bear fruit. Sadly, most of the time, it doesn't work that way. This past spring, I went to a lecture at a local nursery, and the horticulturist there, the gardener who's instructing people on what to plant when and how to prepare your gardens for the growing season, this was early in the spring, his mantra, the thing that he said over and over and over in this lecture, which stuck in my head, was that you need to dig a $10 hole for a $2 plant. He said it over and over again. You have to dig a $10 hole for a $2 plant. What he meant was, of course, that if your plant is valuable, and trust me, at this nursery, these plants aren't cheap. If your plant is valuable, and if you've paid a lot of money for a good plant, then you should pay that much more attention to what you're putting it in to grow in. Its environment is as important, if not more important, than the plant itself. So if you have a plant that is of great value, is very dear to you, if you want it to do anything, if you don't want it to just wither and die, then you need to make sure that it has the right medium, the right environment to grow in. Well, I listened to that, and that stuck into me. And when one of our parishioners here was so generous to give me this lovely fig tree, which isn't a cheap plant, that mantra of $10 plant or $2 plant, $10 hole was stuck in my head. And so I said to myself, well, you know, this is a great plant. I love figs. I want this thing to bear fruit. That I am going to make sure that it has the absolute best hole that I can possibly dig for this little tree. And so I spent, I don't know how much time I spent, digging out this huge hole in the backyard, making sure that it had fertilizer and manure and all of the right stuff that goes in it, digging it out, make sure that, that the ground beneath it was loose and I was following the instructions exactly, making sure that it had water. And by the time I got done planting this tree, I was so tired that I didn't feel like doing that same project to the collard greens and the other stuff that I wanted to plant. So I figured, well, I'm going to test this man's theory. I'm just going to plant the collard greens that I had bought and the other vegetables that I had bought over in a part of the garden that I'd used before and let them go. I'm too tired to go through this again. Well, I can tell you now, at this point in the summer, that the collard greens are almost dead. And the fig tree is covered with fruit. It's not ripe yet, but they're growing. And it's doing wonderful and has fruit all over it. And so, of course, he was right. All of that prep work, all of that energy that goes into tilling the soil and making sure that it has the right nutrients, making sure that the plant can grow strong roots, is the most important part of growing and bearing fruit. So when our Lord is talking in this morning's gospel about the sower sowing the seeds of the kingdom, it's the same principle and the same truths bear upon us as Christians and how we sow the seeds of the kingdom. The glamorous part about sowing the seeds of the kingdom are standing up here and preaching the word, coming to the church services. The glamorous parts are about the baptisms and those moments when we feel like we are harvesting for God. But those aren't necessarily the most important parts. Perhaps the most important parts of preparing for the kingdom of God are those moments when we actually are just preparing, tilling the soil, making sure that the young Christians we have among us have the right environment in which to grow roots, so that they may eventually grow on and bear fruits. We are in the middle of a major project downstairs, many of you know. We are redoing, repainting, reconfiguring the Sunday school downstairs. In many ways, it is the place where we plant the seeds of the kingdom into our children. But it is also the environment in which those seeds can grow. We have to make sure that it is the most nourishing environment possible. We have to make sure that wherever we plant the seeds of the kingdom of God, that those seeds will have what they need to grow, to establish strong roots, to go on and bear many fruits. And that environment, it might begin here. This may be a place where the seeds are planted, but certainly I think we can all agree that at best, our kids may be here one day a week. Where are they the rest of the week? What environment are they in the rest of their lives? Because that matters just as much, if not more, far more, than what happens here. I've said before in interviews, when I was interviewing for this position, that I can't tell you much that I learned from Sunday school growing up, but what I can tell you is that my great-grandmother had the Bible on her lap every single night. What I learned from her and from witnessing her example meant far more to me than anything I learned from a Sunday school teacher. Not that it's not important, but it's the environment that I grew up in. It's the environment that allowed me to establish and grow strong roots. And that's what our responsibility is. As people who work for the kingdom of God, people who are laborers in God's vineyard, is to constantly be looking after the environment in which we are planting the seeds. Do our young people see in us trees that bear fruit? Do they see in our lives examples of Christian witness and virtue? Do they look to us and see people who take this stuff seriously and are committed to this kingdom? Because that is a huge and important part of their environment. Are they constantly surrounded by negativity? Or are they surrounded by people whose life expresses the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Are we making sure that we do everything we can to till the soil, to fertilize it, and to protect it as well from all that may encroach upon it? That is our call, I think, for our children, but it is also our call to ourselves as well. Because if we want to be those examples of virtue and faith, then we have to look after, tend our own garden, till our own soil, making sure that the seeds of the kingdom, the word that is planted in us, has room to grow as well. Are there rocky and hard places in our life? Are there places in our life that could use weeding or protection from the enemy? We have to make sure that we are fertile soil for God's word to grow, so that we too can be a part of the fertile soil that our children may grow in. It isn't glamorous work. It's hard, it's sweaty, it's dirty, but it just may be the most important thing we can do to grow the kingdom of God. If we expect our children to grow up and to have faith, then we need to live that faith ourselves. If we expect them to grow strong roots, then we need to make sure that we have put them into an environment where those roots can grow. The most important thing I learned from my experiences growing up and from things that are confirmed to me even still today is that the environment in which we live, in which we grow, is the most important thing to us, most important thing to our faith, if we expect to grow strong roots, and if we expect to bear many fruits. Amen.